tell there's music. I like this song. This makes me think of a sunny day. Oh, so today. Yeah, today happened. Today was a good day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Cave of Solitude. We proudly present episode 122, brought to you by and hosted by none other than the princess of podcasting, me, Madame J, also known as Lady J in English. But it was Francais with English and then English with English. Anyway, so, have you ever been hanging out with your closest friend in the perfect surroundings and circumstances and then thought to yourself, I wish I could capture this moment and bottle up the memory? You know, nowadays people take pictures, some take video, and if you're like us over here at the Cave of Solitude, you might press record on your portable mic and start chatting it up. So that's what happened today in this episode that you're about to listen to, as myself and my best friend from back in the day, Eric Anthony, struck up a very nostalgic conversation that made me say, let's record this one for the archives. And it was cool to kind of interview the guy who's always asking the questions, and we got to get some origin stories as to what makes him tick, as it were. It was fun for me, and hopefully you as a listener will enjoy it too. So this is Daft J the Amazing presenting episode 122, playing hooky with my honey. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi.
It's recording.
Yeah, I can hear. Oh, it's. I can hear both of us.
Yeah, that's the point.
The microphone's good.
You like it?
Yeah. So I asked you a question.
Is this the interview of Eric Anthony?
No, this is just a conversation.
Oh, this is not a podcast episode?
No.
Oh, really?
It's just us.
Oh, okay.
I mean, what you choose to do with it is up to you.
So
my question to you was,
yeah,
as a teen,
yeah,
what do you remember, being a brand of clothing that you felt like, oh, that's a thing, and I got to have that to make you feel like you were fly or whatever.
So it goes through different eras of school. So middle school, it was like you wanted sports gear like Adidas, and Nike was good too. But back then, you had to choose one. God forbid you mixed and matched. You had to, your whole getup had to be one.
Because you would look like an idiot.
I guess, but it's like my shorts. If my shorts were Nike, why can't my shoes be Adidas?
Like, No. I'd be one of those. I'd critique you. I'd criticize you.
Yeah, that's. But or you couldn't. You couldn't. What was the other thing? You couldn't have both. You could only choose one brand.
No, you can have both.
Yeah.
You just don't mix and match.
But did you have two pairs of shoes? Like, did you have one Nike, one Adidas back then? Like, the kids
I barely
didn't have
had
that.
Shoes.
That's what I mean, right? That's what I mean. So you were lucky.
I got byway shoes.
Byway. Before we continue, can we just talk about the day that we're having right now? We got to set up the scene.
Okay. Go ahead.
You tell me.
The sun is burning my forehead, and I'm loving it. We're on the beach, or the lake. It's really the lake.
No,
let's
no,
not get excited.
It's still a beach.
It's not a beach.
It's a beach.
It's
a beach is where sand meets water.
A
that's
beach
a beach.
Is the Caribbean.
Well, you're talking about the ocean. That's
exactly.
Different. That's different. A beach could be on a sea. A beach could be on a lake. A beach could be on the ocean. But we're at the beach today playing hooky with my honey.
Hooky with your honey.
Hooky with my honey.
I like it.
Because some days you just gotta say, we're gonna have Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Some days you just gotta say, F it.
Yeah, and today was, the weather's perfect, and these days don't come around often, so we played hooky.
What is it that you said to me today? You said, Daff, you never know what today's gonna bring you, so just make the most of it.
Or you never know if you're gonna have as good of a day as today.
That's what you said.
Yeah, so
I wasn't
enjoy
listening.
It. No, you don't. We know that.
Oh, so she's really white. Wow.
People watching and Daff criticizing.
My. Okay. Where?
Which one? The one to my right?
The one to your right. Well, obviously.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's why people come to the beach, to get a tan. To get melanated.
Shame.
Yeah.
Eric.
Daff J.
Answer the question.
All right, so it was Adidas because...
Because you're Italian?
Because I felt like... that was appropriate.
For?
For, I wanted to, when I was in grade 7, grade 8, I wanted to be a Gino. If people don't know what that means, it's listening to Euro dance trash music, having Adidas tearaways and campus shoes or Pumas.
See, I had Nike tearaways. Is it Nike or Nike? Can someone answer me that question?
I think it's both. I think it's interchangeable.
I had blue ones. And I always wore my gym shorts underneath. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember those tearaways.
I'd always have, like, layers on.
Always. You wanted to be a soccer player.
And you want to know what? I was a soccer player. Let's get that straight. Okay? I was on the soccer team. But you know what? Not only did I like layers, but at some point, I think the tearaway thing became so popular, but also a dangerous garment to Very. Have. Because people would just rip your pants apart, and you would be butt naked.
Yes.
In the hallway.
So
no one can do that to me, because A, they would never get away with it, but two, I'd be ready.
It's true. It was such a funny... It was a very funny pair of pants, the tearaways, wasn't it? Didn't really make any sense.
It was because it was an athletic piece of wardrobe where
sure.
you can automatically just...
Sure, but to wear that... To
what
wear,
was that? You could just rip it off and get on the court or the field or wherever it is that you were going.
Right, and the majority of the time you wore those, you weren't going to do any of that. We wore it to the movies. Like, it's a ridiculous outfit to have on, which I wore almost every day.
What size tearaways did you have?
Oh, back then they were probably mediums or large.
Guess what I wore?
Large.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
They were blue. Electric blue.
I remember.
How about you? You said it was Adidas, right?
I had Adidas, and what I really wanted was the very classic, generic Adidas with the white stripes on the side. But when I went to the store, my mom finally agreed to buy them. I got black pair. And they had like a
gray. I thought
gray.
You had black and white. Oh, okay.
They were black, and it had like a gray thing on the side that came up to the shin, and then there were the three stripes were black on top of the gray, and they were good because I could interchange them with pretty much any outfit or any soccer jersey or what have you. So the getup was an Italian national team soccer jersey from 1996 Euro Cup. I had the gaudy silver chain, a oversized pair of glasses, which didn't help the cause, and greasy gelled hair.
It wasn't
which
is greasy.
Still, no, were, no.
No, your hair was not
greasy
like that.
In the fact that it was gelled.
It
not,
looked wet.
Yeah,
the
wet look.
The wet look.
You're right,
yeah, yeah.
right. Which I still do today because I don't have much option with the hair I got.
Your hair is curly.
Yeah, so it needs to be contained. So that was the getup. And I think some girls liked it because I made sure I always smelled pleasant.
And you always made sure you had fresh breath.
Yes.
You always had gum.
Always had gum.
You never...
That was my shtick.
I remember that.
Yeah. Back then it was Spice Girl gum.
The fact that you can admit that.
Hey, man. Five cents, you got a sticker of Posh Spice.
What would you do with the sticker? I want to
put it in my locker.
You'd put it in your locker?
Yeah, man.
And then what? Take it down at the end of the year or leave it?
I left it.
Did you collect all Spice Girls? How much gum did you have to take?
A lot.
So what was on the stickers? Just them?
Just pictures of each of the Spice Girls. And then sometimes group pictures of them. It was all during the Spice World craze when they had a movie and stuff. And yeah. Couldn't put Backstreet Boy pictures on. Had to choose the girls. and wrestling tees were big too. So it was Adidas, any sort of Adidas or Nike thing was my thing. I wanted sporting apparel was always a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be Adidas and Nike.
And what about what kind of like brand, like casual wear, not sports, but more sophisticated wardrobe? When you want to clean up. When you want to.
You got like a pair of Buffalo jeans or
is that what you had? I had
Buffalo stuff, some Buffalo clothes, khakis. I remember grade 9 I got khakis when you wanted to clean up and look
okay.
a little bit.
Khakis or what? Khaki is a brand or khaki is a color or khaki is a type of pant?
Like, the type of pant.
Okay, but so did it matter the brand though?
I don't I guess if you could have Gap, that would be the brand to have of that, or Buffalo Jean brand or something of that in that realm, right? But I don't remember the ones I had. They could have been Blue Nose. Who knows? But yeah.
Did they have Blue Nose back in the day?
Yeah, they did. Blue Nose has been around. Yeah, Blue Nose has been around for a while. But yeah, it's a good question. I had two colors. I had like that, like the green khaki, and then like the beige khaki, like the generic one. Like it was a little bit darker shade of
like baby caca color.
No, not like that. Just like a little bit darker, a little darker khaki.
Who taught you how to dress? Who told you to put these colors together? Or did you kind of just figure it out on your own?
I kind of figured it out on my own. I kind of had a... I can't say I dressed well. You just kind of
figured
it out.
No, but like, where did you find your style from is what I'm saying.
I think you just watched around you. And as far as like colors and stuff like that were concerned, you know, my mom kind of taught me how to put things together. And then, of course, there's some girls who would say at school, like, oh, wear this. This is nice. If you wear that, you'll look good. So you wore what they told you to wear.
What girls were these? Why are you smiling? Why are you smiling so big? You feel like a hot shot?
No, not at all.
You feel like a Mac?
I don't feel like a Mac. I had one girlfriend in high school, and I married her. That's how much of a Mac I was. No, I was not a Mac. But you know, you take girl. If there's a girl you have a crush on or something, and they say, yeah, you should wear this or cut your hair like that, you'll consider it just because you're an idiot, and you do it. Yeah.
Any advice that a girl gave you that you regretted?
Any advice that a girl gave me that I regretted? A couple of girls told me about said that I would look good with a fade. And my friends told me I would look good with a fade, so I did
it. What friends were these?
My black friends. And I went to the proper barber to do it. And so the fade was
at
legit.
Least you went to the source. You didn't get some white guy to try to
I went on my own one time and tried to get a fade, and he didn't understand what I was trying to say. I went to actual hairdresser, and he just made me look like an asshole.
You look like a Nazi.
I looked horrible. I usually don't cuss on the recordings, but it was horrible, worst look ever in my life. And then my black friend said, yeah, we gotta fix that, and they took me to like one of the better barber shops in the city where everyone kind of like you wait an hour to be seen.
Did and you wait the there. Hour?
I did. I waited and I got a really good fade. But it didn't after like maybe 3-4 haircuts buzz like that, which was great for maintenance. It was so nice in that regard. But my girlfriend didn't like it, and my mom didn't like it. And why would you want to upset them? Right?
Because that's who matters.
That's who matters. So I grew the hair back, and the ladies were happy. The ladies that mattered. Yeah. Any more questions about my high school years that you witnessed yourself?
No, see, this is the thing. I may have witnessed it, but I forget.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember some of this stuff.
So grade 9 was wrestling. Was that, like, at its peak? That was, like, 98, 99. So it was just wrestling tees everywhere. Pop-up shops, wrestling tees were everywhere.
Did you wear those wrestling t-shirts, like, with the actual person on there? Or just the symbol of, like, NWO or WWWF or whatever?
Lots of NWO t-shirts. I had maybe one for every day of the week. Every color.
Do you have, like, sleeves, sleeveless?
No, they all had sleeves on them. And then I had one Stone Cold shirt that was, like, Stone Cold University.
What?
It was a Stone Cold University shirt. Because I wasn't allowed to get the one with, like, the flaming skull and all that kind of stuff. Austin 316. So I got...
They didn't want you looking around like you're walking like death?
Yeah, it was kind of like my family would have found it offensive for me to be walking like that, or, like, to have Austin 316 because it was sacrilege and stuff. So I got away with the Stone Cold University. I really wanted an Austin 316.
I never liked those t-shirts. I remember this girl, her name was Thurga.
Okay.
And she would wear these t-shirts of, like, R&B stars.
Yes,
and, like,
yes, I remember.
So
those.
I remember she had,
like, flea market specials.
Whatever it was. I just didn't, I don't, and even today, like, I don't like, I don't want a t-shirt with Tony Stark's face on it. I want Iron Man. Like, right. I don't like real people on printed shirts. And right. I remember she had Babyface, she had Usher, she had, like, all these Tupac. Like,
I remember those.
Yeah, like, where are you getting these t-shirts from? But I remember not being a fan of them, and I'm still not a fan. Yeah. I'd rather...
Those were Ghetto Fabulous shirts.
I'd rather have Biggie on my t-shirt, but looking like... Like a caricature versus the real person.
Like airbrushed.
Yeah, that's what I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus like an actual picture.
All of my wrestling tees were like the officially licensed stuff. I never just got one that had like a picture of The Rock. It was like I had one where it was an airbrushed version of him breaking through a wall kind of thing. Hmm. And at the back it had like... smell what The Rock is cooking sort of thing. But they were officially licensed t-shirts that you would buy.
Does that mean they were expensive?
They were like $30.
That's expensive for back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah, but
we're talking the 1990s. Right. No, early 2000s?
Early 2000s. That was the going rate, though. Like,
excuse me?
Yeah.
For you to buy a $30 t-shirt, what was your allowance like?
My stepdad bought that for me.
He bought it for you?
Yeah, he bought it for me.
Did you get an allowance?
I did get an allowance.
I never had an allowance. I was told clean up because that's what you're here to do.
I got an allowance. My life changed, took a turn when my mom remarried. And my stepdad, I can't say that he spoiled me, but I felt...
He dignified you, I think.
I felt extremely spoiled because I went from living in a one-bedroom apartment with my mom, just the two of us, to...
That must have been awkward.
It went from being fine to suddenly becoming awkward because you went from 13 to 14 years old, almost 15, and you're like, okay, this is just weird now. It changed very drastically, so fast, to having, you know, growing up in a house and having my own bedroom. I had a TV in there, a VCR, like, it was...
A VCR.
Yeah, because...
For the kids listening, what is a VCR?
It played something we call video cassettes, which was movies or things off of TV that you recorded on a thin layer of tape. And as the more and more you played this video cassette, the tape would stretch just a little bit every time. And that's what we watched our movies on. And they weren't cheap back then. Or they weren't cheap in the day when you would buy movies at the theater or at the video store, whatever the case may be. So this is before DVDs. So I had a television in the bedroom that was from me and my mom's place. So my stepfather came with his own furniture and whatever extra stuff me and my mom had, I was able to put in my room to watch and use. So I had my Nintendo 64, and I had a television of my own.
So you went from being a peasant to a king.
Yeah.
Almost overnight.
Right. From, what do they say, pauper to prince?
Is that a thing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a phrase, yeah. So I had this room that I just went all out with the wrestling posters and hip-hop pictures. It just went crazy, wall to wall. There wasn't, like, any real estate of wall left. It was horrible.
Did you use hammer or nails, or did you use the
tacks. Thumbtacks. My stepfather bought me thumbtacks and said, go nuts. Do your thing. Wow. Yeah, he was good to me. And he gave me an allowance for doing specific chores. It was my job to vacuum the entire house every week.
Once a week or like every day?
Once a week, vacuum the entire house. I did all my own laundry and changed my own sheets and all that jazz, and I got $30 a week.
$30 a week?
Yeah.
A week?
In grade 10.
That's like Pablo Escobar money, man. Of course. How old were you?
I was 15.
15 in what,
1999.
Eric, how much is that? 30 times 4?
$120
a month.
Yeah.
Times 12.
Okay, take it easy. It wasn't like I couldn't buy a car. $30 a week. I could go out to the movies with my friends, or I could buy a CD if I wanted. And CDs cost $20 a pop. And if I wanted to buy myself lunch at school, I could. And at that time, I was quote unquote dating a girl who used to bring 5 cents to school for lunch.
Excuse me.
And said, could you fill in the rest? I'm a little short. And I would oftentimes have to use my Pablo Escobar allowance on that girl, making sure she had a beef patty and a drink or something like that.
Excuse me, did this girlfriend, said girlfriend, ever pay and contribute to the cause ever?
Not at the time. Not at the time. Later on, she would.
¿Cómo se llama? What are you talking about?
She, if she's listening, I just want to send a shout out to Daphne J. Because she was the one who made me work for that allowance. And sometimes I had to ask for an advance. But I bought a lot of CDs at that point, and I switched up the wardrobe to all hip hop clothes.
Okay. So what happened? Who said something? Did someone say something to you, or did you just start, welcoming this change? Like, what happened?
No, I took a leap of faith, because I think when I first came to school with the brand of, like, whether it was FUBU or Lugs or whatever, Mecca, that was still before it was a Stitches brand, people were like, a couple of my friends were just like giggling. Looking at me like I was posing.
Who was giggling? Black people, white people, who?
It wasn't black people, actually. It was just like the friends that I was around at the time.
So the people that were used to seeing you in the Gino getup all of a sudden had questions.
Yeah, because before I just dressed like kind of how I looked, or with the wrestling t-shirts, and people knew me for that. But then I started to wear more of the hip-hop-ish.
See, I don't remember attire. That. I don't remember that transition. I just remember you wearing clothes.
Right, right. And it was this, and it happened just before we started dating. So, like, you saw me in those clothes, and that was just my clothes to you. But it was, yeah, it was just something that I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted to wear those clothes because I loved hip-hop culture, and there was nobody that was like, you gotta change how you dress, you were dressed funny, you should dress like this. No, it was more like when I started dressing like that, it took people a while to be like, what are you wearing? Why are you wearing
so
that?
What did it for you? What made that happen?
I just loved hip-hop. I just loved everything about it. I loved the fashion. Looked so much more comfortable to wear. It looked cool. You just wanted to be up on stuff, right? I didn't want to keep dressing like a, I don't know, my wrestling tees and being, what's the word?
Looking like a redneck?
Out of place. Not like a redneck, but just like dressing out of place. You wanted to dress of how you felt, and I was so enamored with like the hip hop culture. Not necessarily trying to look like a black kid, but I just loved hip hop. I would read Source magazines and go to the HMV every week to get the latest, to be up on the music and to. I just loved everything about it.
So I guess people couldn't really accuse you of being a poser because, like you said, like you embraced the culture, right? You were looking at, you know, reading and buying and investing in magazines and the music and everything that surrounded that.
Yeah. And
you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. I made sure that if I was going to have an opinion on something, I wasn't going to sound ridiculous, because I saw the year before when I was still listening to like Puff Daddy and Mace, because that's what my first introduction to hip hop was. I sounded ridiculous because they would have... Or Puff Daddy would have like a song on his album that I'm like, oh, listen to this beat. This beat's wicked. And they'd be like, bro, EPMD already used that. Like, it's not good. It's better this version than that one. And I just felt behind, you know. And you're like, okay, there's something about being up to date and finding the latest, being up on the latest thing with hip hop that was important. So you couldn't like. 2-year-old albums and be like it was fresh. Like, dude, catch up.
So were you like a self-taught hip-hop fan, or did someone guide you?
I can't say I was self-taught. I learned how to distinguish what was quality and who was good, but it was my friend Dane who kind of gave me the lowdown on like, check this out, check this album out, listen to this guy's album, but don't listen to this one. He was kind of the guy who was keeping me up on things initially.
Did you ask him, or did he kind of volunteer?
No, I asked him, because I would hear him talking about stuff at school with the other guys that were my friends, and I was like intrigued by how much they knew, and all these names that you hear, but you don't kind of know where to start. Like, if I want to listen to Redman, for instance, like, where do I start with that? Or why is he good? Like, if I like this, well, I like him. Like, okay, if you like this right now, try this guy first, and then from there, see what happens. And the cool thing with hip-hop albums at the time was there were so many people featured on each other's albums. So you would listen to, let's say, again, I'll go back to Puff Daddy. He had that No Way Out album, which was more of like a compilation album in ways, because you had Biggie, you had Twista, you had Jay-Z on it, you had Mace, you had The Lox, you had Lil' Kim. And then, who's this Jay-Z guy? Mm. And then I heard him again on a Mace album. And then all of a sudden, he had this song called Hard Knock Life that was huge. So you go and say, who is this guy? Because I hear him, and I'm starting to think that I like him, but is he good? Like, how good is he? Is he worth? And that was, like, the year where he became, like, an international superstar. And it was from talking to Dane. He's like, yeah, check out Jay-Z, check out DMX. Because, again, we're in grade 10. We're still kids, and those are the hottest stars at the time. Method Man came out that year. Redman came out that year. It was just a Def Jam filled. It was great. It was a great time.
So he was your Eric Anthony to my Daphne, like it is to comic books, right? Like my...
Yeah, yeah. And he started to see that I was branching out then later on my own without his tutelage, as it were, and I was starting to buy my own albums. And he would be like, hey, well, what do you like? Like, what kind of stuff are you listening to? And I started, you know, I got this now. I'm listening to Busta Rhymes' album and giving him songs on the albums that I liked that weren't just radio tracks. So he started to kind of respect my own pedigree of taking the time to, like, really listen or find things.
How do you know this? Did he ever really say?
Yeah, he did. Because I would go out and buy albums and be like, check this out. I got this album that no one else may have given attention to. And he would always borrow my albums that I was buying and then, you know, dub them for himself. I was kind of his supplier at the time. Because I had the allowance.
I think you, yeah. You had that white boy.
I had the white boy allowance.
You had
the
white boy money.
Yep. So, like, for instance, I can say this almost in my school anyways. I was probably the only person who went to the store to buy Mos Def, Black on Both Sides, the day it came out. And I didn't really have any previous connection to Mos Def, but I had read album reviews, I had read interviews, I heard the album was good, and I said, I'm gonna give this style of hip-hop a chance because I always listen to the commercial stuff. Let me check this out. And I'm pretty sure no one else at school was listening to that at the time. I was the only guy who may have bought that album in my school.
And then what happened?
And I lent it to Dane.
And then what happened?
It became one of our favorite albums, both of our, and your favorite album too.
This is true.
Yeah. So, but I was, yeah, very, very much like the trendy hip hop at the time. You were actually the one, and I'll give you the credit for it. You were actually the one who put me onto Tribe Called Quest. That wasn't my speed in high school because it felt too old at the time. But you were the person who put me onto that, and that's probably my favorite hip hop group now. Yeah. So the hip hop years, or the high school years, hip-hop at that time was what comic books are now to me.
Were you doing comic books at the time?
I had a box of stuff from my childhood that I would keep and would follow me around wherever I went when I moved from, like, different homes or whatever. So I had my little collection because when me and my mom were living on our own at that apartment where it's the same area I live in now, just say that. Next door in the plaza where me and my mom lived was Cyber City Comics.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a little summertime escape for me to be able to go there and have a comic shop finally that I could go to frequently, and my mom would give me just enough money to buy a comic book like a week.
This is before the $30 allowance.
Oh yeah, way before the $30 allowance. And at the time, I stuck with what I knew, which was Superman. And it was the era of the electric blue Superman suit, which was ridiculous. But it was a place for me to jump on and follow the story. And I collected, like, a bunch of those that I still have to this day.
Electric blue, is that the one with the white cover?
Yeah.
That's a stupid cover.
Yeah, I was... No, it was, his suit was... He became like a energy being.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It is a white cover, right?
Black cover, but it glowed in the dark.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm confusing it maybe with something else.
Maybe you're confused with something else. Anyhow, I was reading those. So I still had the love for comics, but it was a much more expensive thing to try to follow and keep track of than music was.
So is that what it was? It was a financial thing?
Yeah, because it was. I also didn't know where to start and what was good and what. And then I'd go to like a comic shop at the.
What do you mean you didn't know where to start? You can collect the comics all your life or read them.
I've read them, but because like there's so many characters and there's so many different books that are on the shelf, and you don't know what's old, you don't know what's new, you don't know what fault. Like, okay, now after I read this one, which one do I pick up next? And it was just okay. Superman had this thing, which was helpful. It was called the little triangle, and it would have the year inside this triangle. It would have the year of, let's say, 97, 98, and it would have a number for each week, and you followed that number and you knew the order to read it in.
Okay.
And there was four different Superman titles. So you had Action Comics, Superman, Adventures of Superman, and then Superman Man of Steel. And all the stories weaved through those four titles. So every week there was a new Superman comic out. You just followed the numbering and you know, okay, this is the one I read next.
So which one did you follow?
I followed Superman, and I bought them all. Because the story continued in all of them. Whereas something like X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, Avengers, whatever it might have been at the time, I wouldn't have known what was going on. So I just kind of stuck to the safe zone, which wasn't necessarily the best comics at the time, but it's what I knew, and I was happy. I was a kid, so I didn't know any better. And then when I got a real job after high school...
What was the real job?
Real job was... I don't want to disclose.
I want to know.
All right. My real job was being a plumber.
Oh, that real job. What about the job when you were in school? Did you have any jobs when you were in school?
Yeah. I had a job where I worked in a fitness center. I was the cleanup kid. I had a job temporarily at Canadian Tire.
How temporarily?
2 weeks. Because I liked it, and I was really excited about it.
Look at the dog out with his head in the window. So cute.
So here's the thing. Working at Canadian Tire, you got paid $6.40 minimum wage.
What?
Yes. And you were just...
What's minimum wage now?
I have no idea.
Isn't it like 15 bucks?
I think they want it to be. I don't know what it is, though.
It's better than six, whatever it was.
Absolutely. So I think after I got a job, I didn't get an allowance no more because I was making my own money, right? I was probably making more money off the allowance than working at Canadian Tire. And it just didn't make financial sense. I got my first check from Canadian Tire. I was so pumped. And I'm like, oh, man, that's nothing.
What was your first check?
It was like 120 bucks, and I worked like 2 weeks worth of work. And I was like, yeah, I'm... After one night of work, you made like $25. It was rough. Man. Yeah, you're 6:40, right? You're finishing at 10 o'clock at night. You started at 5, and it's just like...
What were you doing at Canadian Tire?
Working in the paint section.
Doing what?
Mixing paints, making sure all the labels were facing proper, helping people find primer.
Did you ever mix the wrong color and someone was upset?
No, I didn't. Because they had... I don't think I did. I just enjoyed mixing the paint. It was fun.
I like how proud you are of that, but let's remember, you were there for 2 weeks.
Well, because then I got a job offer to go to the gym, work at the gym, and be like, basically do the same amount of work, and I was very familiar with that particular location, because my dad had been a member there, and he had worked in the gym himself, so it was $8 an hour. You got $1.60 raise, so now I had better shifts, but more money, and now my checks were like, okay, I could deal with that, not bad. So I bought a lot more CDs, a lot more hip-hop, and I bought my own clothes.
So before the iPod,
mm-hmm. This is before the iPod, I had the Sony Discman.
Yeah, and how did that do for you?
Did fine for me. Why?
Well, because I'm guessing that you took these albums with you.
Oh.
So
I was like literally a hip hop backpacker, like a backpack kid. I would carry a backpack strictly to carry my music. That was the only, like, I barely carried school books in it. I had.
And now you carry a backpack for your comic books.
Exactly. And my iPod. But back then, I had a Source magazine or.
Why are your toes in the air?
I'm stretching my leg. I had a Source magazine. I had a Double XL magazine, which were good back then.
So you'd carry those too?
I would have always a magazine with me. That was like my comic book equivalent. And I would have a small pack of that would hold 24 CDs, the folder.
Okay.
And then I had the bigger one that held 48.
I like how I'm saying this as if I wasn't there to witness this.
Yeah, you were there. You knew. I always had it on me.
And that sucker was heavy. That was heavy.
I had, and everything was alphabetized in the folders. And so, what's the math on that? 48 plus 24?
You asking me? Good luck.
2, 3, 12. I had like 72 albums on me.
How did you, were you preparing for the apocalypse? Like, where were you, how far were you going that you needed to have?
I took the bus everywhere.
How long were you going to be on the bus for?
Pretty much an hour all the time. Every direction I would go in, it was an hour ride.
How long is an album? One album? So my question really is, was it necessary for you to really put your back out for all this stuff?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
In case what? What did you think would happen?
If I had the desire to listen to somebody different, I threw it in. Because I would, there were certain things that were in heavy rotation frequently. The Nas's, the Tupac's, the Jay-Z's, the Biggie's. Those were played heavily and scratched and all of that kind of stuff. And they had a lot of albums. But after a while, you want to... Sometimes you want to go somewhere else with it. And you may hear a feature from Mobb Deep on a Nas album. And you say, I want to listen to Mobb Deep now. And it was there. I just wanted everything there at my access. I like having reference available to me. That's why I have the bookshelves. And that's why like I love being able to be like, let me look this up now.
Right.
So, and depending on what I was maybe reading in the magazine... it would, you know, there'd be an article or a hip-hop quotable from somebody, and I'd be like, oh, I want to listen to everything from this guy now. That's it, Black Thought, I want to listen to The Roots.
So it's whichever way the wind blew
right.
for you.
Right, and in school...
Wasn't that exhausting?
No, not at all, it was the best. I loved it. I loved it. Because in a weird way, it was kind of like...
I don't mean to sound insensitive, but that sounds a little bit like an ADD situation.
Oh, totally.
Like you were all over the place at any given moment. You were preparing to change your mind, and you wanted to be ready with that.
Totally, totally, because I was always alone.
Have you ever been tested for it?
Have I ever been what? Tested? No, but I think I may have some type. Not an extreme one, but some type.
How do we find out?
I don't know. Probably have to go to the doctor and ask, but what's the point now?
We should make an appointment. I want to know. Just like I don't have to know... But I wanted to know what my blood type was. Guess what it is?
O negative.
It's O positive.
Oh, close.
Yeah, what's your blood type?
No idea.
See, I just needed to know. Now I want to know if I have ADD, because look at this conversation.
This conversation is very attention deficit.
Okay, but go on. So you were saying you had to have everything at your disposal.
Yeah, so having that there with me, being... I became kind of like the, other than Dane, I became the opinion...
Dane, who's Dane for the people who
Dane
don't know?
Dane has, episode 94, 95.
Look
check him
that.
Out.
Look at that. Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Has. Other than him, I was kind of like the...
Is that really necessary? Who's playing this noise?
You gotta have a little bit of music at the beach. I kind of became like the respected opinion of hip hop because I could take out my CD case and I had the albums. I didn't have mixtapes. I didn't have just some put together random songs. I listened to the albums in full, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like your badge of honor, your credentials. And it sounds stupid, but being like the white boy. You kind of had to prove yourself a little bit more. Because I remember there'd be a lot of people, like, they'd be having, like, ciphers where they'd be talking about or debating artists and whose album's better, which artist is better, who's the better lyricist, yada, yada, yada. And I would give my 2 cents, and I would say, like, what do you know? You're white. That would happen.
Ooh, did that ever kind of burn you a little bit?
Yeah.
Or did it give you a drive to be like, you know what? I'm gonna... come correct?
You know, it bothered me just because it was like, you didn't even let me speak just because you think I'm just some white kid. But I remember that very moment when we were having that discussion, Dane came to my defense. He's like, no, but he knows what he's talking about. Like, not for nothing, he knows what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And I think even in that debate, me and Dane might have been on opposite sides, but he let everyone know, like, no, he knows what he's talking about.
And where did this take place?
It took place in the benches by the pool at C.W. Jeffries.
Also the cafeteria, no?
Yeah, the cafeteria. But but the benches by the pool where we'd have...
That's where you guys would have rap battles and stuff.
We had... I was the one who started that rap battle. I brought my little boombox to school. I had a CD of instrumentals, and I tried to rally a couple of the guys who so-called could rap. And I pitted them all against Dane, and he shut it down. We couldn't go back there because he got the crowd so hyped after two bars that the principal took away my speaker, my radio.
And when did he give it back? Did he ever give it back?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I went there, and then we arranged for us to use the drama room to kind of do the freestyle battles, but
so in a classroom.
It was in a classroom, but a classroom designed for performance.
Right.
So it was kind of cool.
So who really, you guys did that? I thought you were always by the pool.
No, we did that for a little bit. It didn't last too long, but we did that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have loved to be able to have like a high school radio station. That was my dream.
They don't have that here.
No, but that was like I had like in my mind.
Do they have that here?
I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do, but in my mind, I had like a whole setup of like what song I would play for different seasons when the class ended or when it was lunchtime. Like I had playlists ready to just get everybody like in the vibe.
So it sounds like you wanted to set the mood.
Oh yeah, totally. I wanted to be like, I wanted to be in radio.
Did you want to be that guy from 90210?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be David Silver. Yeah, totally. I would have told, but I would have played like good hip hop music. I think I probably would have the music that I would have played probably would have led to some like shenanigans because it would have just got people too amped. Yeah.
You think?
I think so. Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, you throwing a little Mob Deep, Shook Ones.
That gets me going.
Yeah, get you
never
going.
Never mind.
And then following
you
that.
You play that. The sun is hitting me so nice right now. The water sounds so pleasant. You put in Mob Deep, I'm telling you, I'll get angry right now.
Someone's getting shanked.
Someone's for real.
Yeah. And then.
I'll find reason to pick a fight with someone. You're right. It does.
Yeah.
The music will put you. Will
especially
you
especially if you're upset coming out of a classroom. And someone plays the soundtrack of your emotions, you know, there might be a fight.
I think as a team, too, you're going through so
many. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a girl. It's beef with a dude. It's everything.
Like imagine it's 1999 or 2000, right? And the bell rings for lunch. And right after you hear the end of the bell ring, as soon as that ends, you hear Rough Riders Anthem come on. People are going to go bananas.
I feel like you've daydreamed about this.
Oh, 100%. I have the whole, like, radio programming, like, in my head completely.
So why didn't you get into that?
I wanted to.
Look at us now. This seems like a thing that you should have always done.
Yeah, that's why I do it now. But I don't talk about hip-hop. I talk about comics. But that's okay. And pop culture.
Anything.
I can talk about anything, which I do. Yeah, yeah. But that's what I wanted to do.
Now the trick is to find out how do we get paid for this.
Yeah.
So we can come to the beach all the time.
And just do this.
And just do this.
That would be amazing. One day, if people care enough to listen to me ramble about what I wore.
That was me though. I just wanted it because you know what? I saw this chick walking around and I'm like, oh look at that! I remember when that meant something to some people at some point in my life. I went to go throw out the prosciutto paper. And I looked at this girl's t-shirt and I'm like, look at that. And I thought to myself, I'm like, what was that brand, that thing that made me feel like I was nice back then?
Yeah.
And then that's what made me ask you to get. Yeah. And that's how this conversation started.
You know what made me feel nice? Now that you mention that, the one year I was in, we were still in school and I had gotten a summer job working in a factory. And I was making pretty okay money for a high school kid. Like, you made a couple hundred dollars at the end of the week. That was a lot to us back then. So I remember I saved up money and spent my money on getting kitted up for the next year at school. I got jerseys with hats to match. I got all of these different, you know, shirts for school with the to coordinate, like, specific outfits. And then I bought, this was the best part. I bought the much coveted velour tracksuit from Academics that you had seen so many a rapper wear on an album cover or magazine cover.
I remember that. It was navy with gold and burgundy.
Oh, and I got the hat to match it, and it was so big that it, like, two of us could fit in it. And apparently that was the right size. No one said, like, it's so big. No one said that. They're just, like, the jacket was so big. It was great. That outfit, that made me feel nice.
I still have my velour.
Yeah, because you bought one to fit.
No, I bought the girl one. Like, you had, like, as a girl.
I kept that sucker. I kept it. And I gave it to my friend.
And it fits him, actually, proper.
No. It fits him big. And he's a big guy. Like, he's 6'4" and big framed Portuguese fella. And it's big on him. And I look at him wearing it, and I feel like telling him, what are you wearing? And then I realize, that was mine.
And when you were, like, skinny.
When,
like,
I was little.
You were little. You were a kid.
I was a kid.
Like, at least now you're a little bit built. You got shoulders to fill out.
You know,
but
what?
Back then, you were even scrawnier than you are now.
I think I had passed the scrawny stage when I bought that outfit, to be honest with you. There's a lot of Licksburgers in the system by that time. I stopped taking gym class. But, yeah, no, it was way
too big. Who stops taking gym? It's the easiest credit.
I stopped taking gym.
I took that sucker to OAC.
You know when I stopped taking gym?
And I got 100% on my exam, by the way. I learned how to count tennis score. Scoring. Don't ask me now.
You know how to do it now.
15 love, and after that, I'm done. I don't know.
So I stopped taking gym, I think it was, like, in grade 12 or OAC, and, like, the grade lower than me were in my gym class, so I wasn't even with my friends anymore. I'm just like, who are these people in my gym class? Where are all my buddies? And I was just like, I don't want to be around these guys. These aren't my people. So I dropped out and got a spare instead. And I didn't like the gym teacher. You know, there's gym teachers who spend the whole class back then making you run through the park and the forest, and, like, they called it the ramble run. You come back all muddy. And it's like, how am I supposed to go and talk to my girlfriend looking like this? I'm not doing no ramble run. I'm dropping this garbage.
And now? As an adult, would you do a ramble run?
No.
You don't like running?
Like, riding a bike if I'm going somewhere. Running? No. Unless I'm playing soccer. Like, to me, gym, let's play sports. Bring out the football. Bring out the soccer ball.
And then, yeah, running with no purpose is hard for me.
It was like the whole class was just about stretches and runs. And we would spend 15 minutes playing the sport. And it's like, this sucks. I wanna have a game here. Like, what are we... 4 laps around the track, and then you come here and do 20 minutes of stretches. It's like, it wasn't fun. And once gym stopped being fun and you weren't with your friends, why take it when you can hang out and play cards in the cafeteria?
And that's where I come in.
You were always in the picture. You were just there as well. Because you saw that I had a spare. Like, what are you doing? Why didn't you do class? Like, oh, I got a spare. And then you took a spare. Like,
no, I didn't take a spare. I already had a spare. You, me, Chris, and Nicole had all the spare together, and we would just play crazy eights.
Yeah. Crazy eights and just
dominoes.
Yeah.
What else did we do? It depending on the weather.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just go outside.
A lot of crazy eights. A lot of crazy eights. And red. You ever play red knuckles?
Red knuckles?
Oh, no. What was the game?
I didn't.
Not red knuckles. It was confusing the game. Bloody knuckles. Remember bloody knuckles? You ever play bloody knuckles?
I never wanted to play it. I wasn't stupid that way.
That was a good game. Bloody knuckles. War. How about war?
Yeah, war I play.
Yeah. Or,
I was good at shuffling, though. Everyone always wanted me to shuffle.
You were the master at, what was that game? The
Speed, Spit.
Speed and Spit. Oh, you were so good at that. It was amazing to watch you play. Yeah, you were good at those games. You could have gambled for those games. You're good.
I could have.
Yeah. No, you were dope at those. You taught me how to play. That was fun. We should pick that up again.
We should.
You were good.
I want a bright bathing suit like that, I think. Not that small.
I looked and then I looked away. Like, don't look too hard, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any so that's good. I think it's nice to get a little insight behind.
How long are we going for here? What are we at?
I don't know. I don't know how to read this. Oh, 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Are you hungry?
No, I'm good. Are you hungry?
No, but I can always eat. That's my problem.
That's why you won't get a baby suit that small.
Exactly. Hey, man, I'm supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say that.
No, I'm just joking with you.
No, I'm past that age now where, like, I'm past that. Look, I can actually say that I won't do that no more. Like, I'm okay with a one piece. I'm not trying to fit myself into two piece. There's some people walking around here. I'm like, did you not see yourself? Does no one love you enough to tell you that maybe that's not a good idea?
Yeah, and but I think I'm honest with you. You can still pull off.
That's lovely of you to say. I just think that there's some things that people need to be honest with themselves with, and you know, water wear. You know, I'll be a little bit more critical about myself.
I just find. Well, you know what? You gotta wherever it is you're going to and whatever you're gonna wear, you gotta feel comfortable in your own skin wearing that thing.
True enough, and but I also have matters. To be honest with the fact that just because it looks good on you doesn't mean it's gonna look good on me.
No, but that's where picking the right style bikini is.
You know, anything.
Yeah, but you could still pull off a two piece. But if you're not comfortable in it, you could tell when a person's not comfortable in what they're wearing.
Hey, look at this situation. Look at the situation to the right.
What about it?
What do you mean, what about it?
What about it? The pastiness?
No, forget that. That's a whole other situation.
Okay, say it.
I'm not saying it, because people are going to think I'm critical.
You got to come closer to the mic. If you've been talking from that distance.
No, I can hear myself. I can hear myself.
Okay. Any other questions that you got for me? Or are you going to pick this up later and ask me more? We thought we just talked about my childhood and my clothing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it was good to have a little insight about the person who has stuff to say about stuff that people find in common with you.
Yeah, maybe if they do, sure.
What do you mean? If they listen, it's because they like the
they're probably the movie. This would be like, this is so dumb.
Then stop. Then press stop button. You know, but
true.
Fine, whatever.
True.
You know, people already know the content of what we do. And by the way, this isn't supposed to, I didn't do this because I wanted to podcast. I wanted this because I just, it'd be nice to look back on a conversation that
true
we had.
Enough. True enough.
You know what I mean? What intrigued me is when you said to me, like, what did you say to me?
About the hip hop clothes?
Yeah.
Where I was just like, I had to embrace it because I just loved it so much.
Yeah, you're like, I love the culture. Like, I just had to get into it. And I'm like, you know what? I want this. I want this as a memory. I want to know what it was.
Yeah.
That did it for you. But this wasn't for anyone to be like, ooh, let me hear what they have to say. It was just impromptu.
Yeah. I remember even back then in high school, that's how I actually discovered BMV. It wasn't off comic books. I would skip school, head downtown. I only knew that if I take the train on the Finch line or the Young line from Finch Station, you go all the way down until you see Dundas or Queen, because Queen Station had the picture of Eaton Center. You knew you were there.
Right.
And so I'd get off there, and I would just walk around Eaton Center and go to the big HMV. And in the big HMV in the basement, they had the best hip-hop selection ever. They had just everything there. The whole section was dedicated.
I like that you said that, and your toes went pointed straight up.
You're watching me too, way too hard. No, they had the best hip-hop selection, and you could find albums that you heard of but you had never seen at the regular.
So was it mall. Finding CDs then, is it like finding vinyl records now for you?
Oh yeah, because for me I was still there's still so much to discover, so many albums and hip-hop history that had come out that I had just missed because maybe I was too young or I didn't have any money to buy it. So you're back cataloging albums that you hear about or always referenced in magazines or whatnot. So to go and see like those albums there, and now you could actually buy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, what do I pick? And again, you had a limited amount of resources, but I'd mark down, like, okay, make sure you get this, make sure you get... It was just so much fun to search through it all. I loved it.
Is the act of, like, looking and searching a thing for you?
Totally. Absolutely. The hunt and the find is totally, like, part of the... That's what I think the hip-hop and comic books for me are very closely related, because the way that they're made remind me of each other. You have a rapper and a producer. You've got a writer and an artist telling a story. And then, right, of course, you've got, like, the inkers and the colorists, and those are, like, the...
Features.
But those are also, like, the engineers and the guys who are doing all the other things, the A&R guys, the editors that are putting together this. But there isn't a huge amount of...
But then the music videos.
And then you got the music videos, and you've got the album cover with the booklet that tell a story. Mm-hmm. So, like, and then the MCs themselves, compared to bands or other artists, the MCs were aliases.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you think of other bands, a lot of times, like, Bruce Springsteen is Bruce Springsteen. Like, that's who he is. Or Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, or Robert Plant from those, that's who they are. John Lennon. But in hip hop, you've got Method Man. Well, what's a Method Man? You got, like, DMX. Everybody had a code name.
Everybody was Little.
There was, back then, there weren't as many
Little. There weren't as many, but no. But they were hard to forget.
Yeah. So you had, like, a Notorious B.I.G. Like, that's not his name, but if you met
first for you, wasn't it a Notorious Big?
It was Notorious Big. Absolutely.
And then someone said to you, don't do that again.
Yeah, my older cousin was like, it's B.I.G. dork. Big. But he went by
Biggie.
Mm. Right. And if you were to meet him, calling him Biggie or Big was fine.
Right.
It wasn't like that's, and it's like Jay-Z was Jay. Like, that's what people referred to. So, right, to me, it was like these guys, it's like the music equivalent of wrestling.
Right. Okay.
These guys all had characters that they were portraying or were basing off of maybe a life that they once lived or whatever the case may be. It was that fine line of reality and fiction. Mm. And it had the same sort of appeal that comic books had, because, like, what's a Havoc? What's a Prodigy? That's who they were. Like, Method Man's name is Clifford Smith. That's his name, you know? Redman is Reginald Noble. You know?
There you
but,
go. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, all of these guys had, they were characters.
Your name is Eric Anthony.
That's right.
What was your hip hop name?
I'm not telling anybody. Oh, nice try.
Oh, I thought that was a smooth transition.
No, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. It's privileged information.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Will we ever know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you might hear a feature one day with me on it if Haz blows up and I have to be the AZ on his album, right? Do the AZ feature. Yeah, so that's... It had this. The hunt is just as satisfying as the consumption. The hunt and gathering of it all. And so, getting back to my long-winded answer about BMV, I stumbled upon this used bookstore across the street from the HMV that had the best hip-hop selection. And what they had was
it at Young and Dundas?
Young and Dundas.
Not the one on Spadina.
No, that didn't exist yet. Mm. It was on Young and Dundas. And I walked into this store. I love bookstores, always, from when I was very, very small. And they had a magazine stand of all these magazines that were, like, in comic book bag and boards. So I'm looking through these music magazines, and I see a stack upon stack of old Source magazines that you can't just find, because once they're off the shelf...
They're done.
Yeah, where do you get it?
Yeah.
So this was, like, the resource of finding old magazines that you wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. And they were, like, $2 a pop instead of the regular $5.45 what it cost back
right,
then.
Right.
So I was like, Eureka! Like, I don't even... I lost my mind seeing this stack of Source magazines and double XLs.
Isn't it funny now that BMV still stands and HMV is
Yeah.
Done for.
Yeah. And now I still love BMV because I have that same experience
finding. That's like the epicenter of everything that you love.
Yeah. That's my favorite corner in the world. Edward and Young, where the HMV was and where BMV still is. I remember even as an adult.
I just work up the street, by the way.
Yeah, you just work up the street. I love, that's my favorite spot in the world. And now, for a while, they had Silver Snail, HMV, and BMV. Mm-hmm. I spent the whole day there as an adult. I went back. I still go back there.
As a married adult?
A married adult. I took a picture. It's on Instagram, everything. It's just my favorite spot in the world because it's like everything. It's a small corner, but what you can find with between music, movies, literature, everything is there. It's like a whole other universe in that one little pocket for me. I love it. But now HMV is gone. Boo.
That doesn't mean that you still feel in that spot though, right?
Oh, yeah. I still feel that spot, but now like my new place is the
B&B. The one on Spadina?
Because that was another discovery of, I just love B&Bs.
That's where you met Seven.
I met Seven there, that's right.
He was one of our first listeners.
He was, and he was one of the first people that played an episode like in the store. It was so cool to hear your episode being played in like a comic book shop.
Yeah,
that was really cool. So I will always try to find in different areas where if I was working somewhere downtown, I would always try to find a shop close by. And working downtown in construction, I would walk up Young Street and I would hit Gray Region, Silver Snail, oh, not Silver Snail, wasn't there at the time, and 1 Million Comics and BMV and all these different places where you can find comic books. And that's how I started to get into the comic book collecting when I was older, because I had money to go there weekly.
Right. So that was going to be my next question, because how did then you go from that hip-hop thing to back into comics? And that you just answered my question.
Yeah, it was working, actually, my first job as a plumbing apprentice, I was working at City Hall, or across the street from City Hall at Bay and Dundas, which I didn't realize, because I'm directionally stupid sometimes, was like across the street from Eaton Center. And I just love wandering downtown and finding things and stumbling upon little hidden stores that, you know, are right up my alley. And I found 1 Million Comics, found Gray Region, and now I had, you know, disposable income that I could jump on. And it was at the perfect time in 2006, right after Batman Begins came out. So I was on a high from watching Batman, because I always loved my superheroes. I went to the comic shop and started to buy comics again. And Superman Returns was coming out that year as well. And Spider-Man 3 was coming out. So this is before the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the superhero movies were every year now. You were getting something.
Now they're like every month.
Now they're every 3 months. So it was the very start of that golden era of it being in vogue, where everybody was onto it. And so what was happening that time in publishing was both companies were having really, really, really big events taking place. So DC had what was Infinite Crisis, which was a good place to jump on because they kind of restarted all their comic book lines. And Marvel had Civil War, which we all know, of course, is like they made a whole movie about that. So that's when I got back into going to a comic book shop regularly. And there's just a whole world of discovery now, because now I could buy Spider-Man every week, and I could buy Justice League number one that they're relaunching, or the first issue of Batman written by Grant Morrison. Like, I was there for all of that, as well as like Geoff Johns on Green Lantern. And it was just a cool time to be. And I went to my first con around then just to buy books. I didn't even care about which artists were there, which is funny because now that's all I care about. But it was like, wow, there's a whole world of like this culture. So it was the new hip-hop culture for me.
So
are you bored? I'm sorry.
No, I'm talking a whole lot. I'm asking questions because I want you to talk about it.
Yeah.
How did you then get into, see, this I'm trying to understand, because I've always been confused.
Get into what?
See, I listen to hip-hop music the way you would listen to hip-hop.
Okay.
And R&B. That's what I grew up listening to.
Right.
And then one day...
Okay, I think I know where this is going.
And one day...
I started listening to other things in hip-hop?
You were just... I was confused. I felt like I was stuck on stupid for a minute. I was trying to understand who the Arctic Monkeys were, and something about a Pixicle.
Pixies.
And the, you know, the Mr. Smiths.
Oh, the Smiths. Mr. Smiths.
How
Mr. Smith is LL Cool J.
How did you get into that genre of music? Because being so heavily endowsed in hip-hop and the culture of it. I mean, you lived it, you breathed it, you read about it, you did, you know. How did you do that? Because I don't get it.
Well, Daft J, sometimes you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you say...
This jersey's too big now.
Hey, you're white. No, I'm just kidding. No. I think it was just that you reach a time in your life where you're... how you socialize, and now you live on your own and you host people and you are meeting new people in life, that in certain social settings, for me and you, we understand it a certain way. But you kind of, first you grow out of certain rhetoric. It's like, I don't want to hear about Jay-Z Big Pimpin'. I like Jay-Z, but I don't want to hear that. I don't relate to that no more. Not that I ever really, that I ever really did, but I don't find it as like entertaining to hear like Snoop Dogg. I sing along because it's fun and I laugh about it, but like I can't go in my car and play like Ain't No Fun with friends in the car, the way maybe I would have before with my
body. Well, you could.
You could, but it's just like...
They just may not appreciate it.
Right. And so you want to be a little bit more eclectic in your tastes. And I always feel there's value in being well-rounded, so that I never wanted to make my... When people say, what kind of music do you listen to? And I say everything, just because I don't want to get into the stuff that I like or have... Not that you ever have to explain yourself, but I wanted to really say I like everything and be able to appreciate...
Mean it.
Yeah, mean it. But appreciate, like, why are the Beatles considered the best rock band of all time? Or why is Sgt. Pepper's the best album of all time? Why isn't it Illmatic? Mm. I'd say Illmatic's the best album of all time, for instance, right? So I wanted to be in the know because I loved music.
You generally wanted to give an opinion that could be respected by all types of people, not just a certain type of group.
Yeah, and I didn't want to just accept it because that's the...
I can respect that.
Yeah, so I wanted to... And working in a different environment where Q107 is now playing instead of my CD player, you're hearing all of these songs that you're starting to get a little bit of a palette for, and you want to know, like, okay, so what is really the best rock music? How can I, in the same way that I was able to listen to an MC or a producer and be like, they're good for XXX and amount of reasons, X and Y, how can I listen to different rock bands and develop the same taste for, or ability to be like, that's quality?
I think for myself, what I found is, like, particularly with hip-hop, because that's my preference, I found that any true artist or musician has an appreciation for not just the genre, but they have appreciation for music.
Exactly.
So they actually have had collaborated or know or understand that this particular, whether it's rock, jazz, classical or anything, they do have integrated all of those different types of...
Exactly, yeah. All those different influences infused,
exactly,
in their music, yeah.
Right.
And that was the thing, is that I actually liked a lot of this music, not realizing that that music influenced hip-hop. That's
right.
Where it came from.
Exactly.
So to I didn't...
Because they would sample stuff,
exactly,
and be like, oh, this is so sick. And it's like, but wait a minute. It's been...
Exactly. So I remember, not that it's a good song, but I remember, like, for instance, Godzilla with the Puff Daddy song, Come
uh-huh.
With Me, right?
Right.
I love that, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. But that's Led Zeppelin.
Right.
I didn't know that. And when
right.
you figure that out, you're like, oh my goodness, this was good 30 years ago, not because this guy came out with it. He's taking what's
already
classic.
But he had an appreciation for that.
Exactly. And that's the point,
and paid his homage.
Exactly.
To that. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So I know this is not a popular opinion to have anymore, but my favorite hip-hop producer before the hype and celebrity was Kanye West. This is when he was just a producer, and I used to think his
name was...
This
is when he was quiet.
This is when he was quiet. or quiet to the fans, because people didn't want to hear him rap yet. But I thought his name was Kanye West. I still call him Kanye West. And I tracked all of the songs he was producing for different artists, and I realized that his sound, I love his sound.
It was well-rounded, too.
Right. He had, on one album, sampled Jackson 5... The Doors, Bobby Blue Bland.
Look at the guy taking a picture of his girlfriend.
That's nice.
She's wearing a nice little.
I think they're taking matching photos today.
But he's just taking photos with his phone. It doesn't look like they may have. Well, maybe they planned it, but the idea that they're just together.
Yeah, he could take it somewhere nicer. Take it to Edward's Garden or something. Pal, drove all this way up here. There's two kids in the background ruining the shot.
Maybe they have a cottage or something.
Yeah, maybe. They came coordinated, though.
They did. It looks a little fun. Good for them, though.
Yeah, very good.
They're brown people, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Beautiful couple. Tall and handsome.
We're going to photobomb their picture. They're taking a picture with us in the background. I'm going to point my toes out.
He needs some direction there.
Yeah. We're in it. We're dead in the picture.
Yeah, we really are. We should smile. Yeah, let's just smile.
With our microphone.
Yeah.
We should figure out what the hashtag of this picture is going to be and post it on the episode.
This is amazing. He doesn't see the back. You know what? He doesn't see the background. He just sees her.
And that's
what, and I think that's beautiful.
Oh, really? Because when I say that about taking a picture of you, you give me crap because I didn't take the background. I'm like, but I'm taking a picture of you. But now you're charmed.
No, because I'm seeing it.
You're a jerk.
I'm seeing it happen.
Now you see it. Now you understand. Okay. Where were you? What was I rambling about?
You were talking about Led Zeppelin.
Oh, right.
And how puffy.
Oh, right. So I was saying about Kanye on one album. He had sampled all these different styles of music on the Blueprint album, for instance. And it just kind of impresses upon you. Even Q-Tip. These are guys who dig in the crate for records. Uh-huh. And they're finding music that is from different genres.
Right.
And it makes me realize, if I really want to I wanted to be a music critic. That was, my dream job, was to write for
music. How many dream jobs do you have?
I wanted to work in radio, and I wanted to be a music journalist. I wanted to write music reviews. That was my dream job.
And now you?
Podcast.
Why don't you do music reviews, too, then?
I don't listen to enough music anymore.
You've grown out of that phase.
I know what I like now. I'm in the Shane Heron phase of life. It's I know what I like and I'm good. I don't need to.
Right.
I don't have the patience for all the other stuff to be is this good or not? I don't like it.
Right. I got you.
Yeah. So I was working with people who were listening to this rock music and just realizing again, oh man, I'm in another dynamic of life now with different people and I know nothing about, I don't know who Black Sabbath is. I don't know, not that I listen to Black Sabbath, but I don't really know an AC/DC song from a Van Halen song. And it's not to say that you need to in life, but it's good to, I laugh at kids who today don't know Mariah Carey. I'm like, you loser, you don't know who Mariah Carey is. Where did you just land?
Who doesn't know who Mariah Carey
is? I'm telling you, the 20-year-olds today, that's Mariah Carey now is like Aretha Franklin was to us. We just don't see it.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's what's happened.
But I know who Aretha Franklin was.
You did.
And Patti LaBelle.
You did. But it's to the point.
Which it boggles my mind because especially nowadays, in this day and age, everything is accessible much easier than it was back then.
Right.
You knew what you knew because of what your parents listened to.
Right. But.
But now you can YouTube.
If you say to somebody
Apple Music a song, I don't know.
Right.
It's possible.
Put it this way. I was talking to a guy at work who is respectable in his tastes, right? He's got respectable taste.
How old is this person?
He's in his 20s, mid-20s, 26, right?
Okay.
The new Drake song that's out, Nice for What?
Yeah.
Good song. I like that song. Mm-hmm. Actually, I like Drake. Mm. But he samples Lauryn Hill's X Factor, right. But it's sped up. sounds good. So me and him were listening to some, I guess, quote-unquote, older hip-hop, where we were talking about how we liked, back in the days, the sped-up soul sample that, you know, was popular during the Rockefeller era.
Right.
So we were just saying how we missed that. So he texted me saying, you got to hear the new Drake song. It's got, like, that old-school vibe, that feel. And I goes, I don't know the sample, but it sounds like an old sample. It's Lauryn Hill, X Factor. And it's just like...
Okay, but he knew it was a sample.
He knew it was a sample, but what I'm getting at is... that is old enough now that people think it's older than what it is. It's just Lauryn Hill. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, you know, oh, that's before your time. It kind of hits you.
Right.
So, yeah, like you're part of that era now where kids don't know who Whitney Houston was. It means nothing to them.
That's sad.
Yeah. And I never wanted to not be able to appreciate, at the very least, the track somebody else laid down.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think like I listened to Jay-Z a lot, right? He was my favorite growing up. And he borrowed a lot of lyrics, paying homage to rappers before him. A lot of people criticize him for doing that, saying he's not talented enough to come up with
his own. He's
a biter. For me, I took it as, oh, he's dropping that line because he respects the person who said it. Well, that's a line from Rakim. I want to hear that song from Rakim. Mm. Now I like Rakim.
Right.
And I can say he's giving that guy respect because that guy deserves it, as opposed to biting him. So I think there's a tasteful way in, and he used tons of Biggie lines to pay homage to his friend. And some of them weren't on popular records. Some of them were on like those hidden gem records,
like an underground kind of thing.
Yeah. And so to when he references them, you go back and check that record out. For me, that's the type of how I am.
Right.
And I think that comes again from the comic book thing of that last time I fought Doc Ock, he was staying in our house, room and board, with Aunt May when she was housing people. And to see that issue, go back to Amazing Spider-Man number 35, right? You go back,
right,
and you check that reference. So that's what I wanted to do with music. And it just made you, it just makes you more well-rounded and have better taste.
Yeah.
It's like if you only eat pizza, that's it? That's all you like? Just pizza?
But what if it's an Inferno pizza from Nino Versa?
Well, now you may not have to eat another pizza again. But at least you've tried a couple, right?
Right.
So you want to, yeah.
No, diversity is good.
Yeah, so that's how I started listening to Pixies and the Smiths and the
Strokes. I was way left field.
You were looking at me like, but you like some of it now.
Well, it was kind of forced. Well, I had no choice.
It was funny because
I would walk into the house and I'd be like, the hell is this? I'd be walking to our suite and I'm thinking, who is that fool playing that kind of... And then I'm getting closer and closer to my unit and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a cotton picking minute. Open the door and I see you and I'm like, shut it off.
What is this garbage? And then when I would switch it to like...
You were trying to be slick about it though, because... That's the other thing. For me, I like, you know how you like that hunt,
yeah,
and search and find?
Yeah.
For me, I like to kind of stumble upon things on my own terms.
Sure.
I don't want to be told, like, listen to this.
Sure.
Because then I'm being, it's like as if I'm being influenced to like something that you like.
Sure.
So when you were like, no, give it a shot, I'm like, shut it off. I don't want to hear this madness.
Because a lot of the stuff I would play, I kind of based it around, like, I think she'll like this. I wouldn't play everything for you because I knew, oh, she's not going to like this. I know for sure. But there's a lot of stuff I would play. I'm like, I think she would get into this.
I can't get into The Clash. I'm sorry.
No, you can't get in. That's fine. But there was other stuff that I played that you would end up liking almost as much, if not more than me. And it was funny because you would hear a song later on down the line. It's like, I love this song. It's so good. I'm like, oh, really? When I was playing it before last year and I said, you're going to love this song, you told me to shut it off because it's garbage. No. Yeah, right here. Here's the CD, remember?
But I came to, in my own time, I came to understand and appreciate it, right?
Yeah,
without
yeah.
the bias of somebody else saying.
It's just funny to see you come around.
It's my
after.
Own pride, really.
Yeah, we all have that, right? It's like when people say, oh, you should read this book, this comic, you'll like it. And I'm like, I don't want to read it just because you told me to. I'm
right.
not going to. I want to find
it.
It
also
myself.
Depends who it's coming from.
True. It's true.
And the thing with you... is that, how do I say it? You cocky, man.
I'm cocky.
You cocky. You look, and I mean that. I mean
cocky.
That in a good way. Like, you come with knowledge. Like, you know what you're talking about, and it's almost intimidating for me sometimes to be like, all right, I don't even want to get into this because I know I'm going to lose the argument, so I just want to ignore it altogether, right?
Because,
but I don't know. Don't.
I don't want to be a jerk.
No. I never said you were a jerk. I said you. I was rudely telling you that you are intelligent. You know, you come with not just your opinion, but with some kind of backing, right? And not everybody has that.
No.
Right?
And I think too,
without realizing it, anyone in their position where they are a little bit more comfortable with what they're talking about, they can't, I shouldn't have said that. See, now I feel bad for you.
No, don't feel bad for me.
No, I feel like because some people, not you, okay? Some people sometimes, because they know a little bit, they think they know a lot. And they want to school you on it.
Right.
Right? And I feel because, and I don't think you just know things to know things. You know things not to school people, but you do it because you want to know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
So, and because of that, I'm like, if I'm going to tell him I hate this music, I can't just say shut it off. Although that is what I did.
Right.
Right? I didn't give it a chance.
Right.
Because I'm like, whatever it is that I say, he's going to have a rebuttal. And I'm going to have to listen to the thing that I don't want to listen to.
Right.
Just because I'm being petty like that.
Right.
Right? Sometimes my arguments aren't as valid as yours. So I bow out by just saying, enough. Shut it off. I don't want to hear it. Put in something I know. Right?
Put a bitch better have my money. Like, that's better. And I'm like, how is that better?
That's what I meant by, you know, you're confident. You're confident. You come correct. You come with information that really will have someone on their toes.
Well, I mean,
that's how I feel. Maybe I'm biased, but that's how I feel.
Well, I don't know.
Which is why I come and ask you crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, like, you ask me the most random question. I'm like, I do not know. And the thing is, I only know, if I know something about something, is because I ask someone who knows more than me first. And then based on what they've given me to work with, I'll build on that. And I guess because I hated when someone would talk with so much authority and they were wrong.
Right.
And it's just like, it's okay to be wrong, but don't be so sure that you're right and insistent that you're absolutely right. The one rule I made for myself was I will only say I'm absolutely 100% sure if I know for fact that I am. I will never act that way unless I know for certain you're wrong. Just because I've looked it up, because I was once wrong,
right,
about it.
See, but you're humble that way.
I guess that's.
There's some recognition that there's limit to your knowledge.
Total, and that's why, like, I don't know if we're gonna post this or not, but I like having people on the show. If I want to talk about something, I want people who know more than me about it.
But because you gain something. It's of benefit to you.
Yeah.
You're not taking advantage of them, but it does serve some kind of purpose for you, right?
Yeah, and I'd never want to be the guy to talk out of my butt about something. I want to hear it from the source so that if I do engage in it, whatever gem I drop, it's valuable to share it. It's not just like, I don't know what the word is, but just like an anecdote. That, I heard this. Yeah, that's what it was. Like, no, that album came out at this time, not then. And that's why you're...
See, and then that's why I say you cocky sometimes, because I'll say something, you're like, no, that's 98. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you... And it's not because you're trying to be a jackass, but it's like, okay, sometimes you can let it slide a little bit. Just, you know, like, and I'm the first one, because I am intimidated sometimes with some of the information that I share, right? Because I'm like... I'll be full front, like, and say, like, you know what, don't quote me on this, or I may be wrong, because I know that there is a high probability that I'm lying through my teeth. But I'm not doing it on purpose. But some people
confuse the timeline. That's all.
Some people will misconstrue that and be like, she don't know what she's talking about. And I don't care anymore. Like, whatever.
No.
I say things backwards and I misquote and misdate and misuse names and stuff all the time. That's just what I do. I try not to, but that's just what happens, right? But to some people, they see that as a weakness, And those are the type of people that I don't like to have a conversation with. It's not fun for me.
Right. Yeah. Because it is frustrating when you talk. I like talking to people who their word is reliable because...
He was wearing like a pantsuit. Now he's wearing shorts and a...
They switched it up. They're like superheroes. That was a quick switch. Very different outfits. People who took the picture before that were...
That were in.
Yeah. I don't know. I always appreciated when I could rely on the point that I read, and I hated when somebody would state an opinion and I was listening to it for information and realizing like, oh man, you don't even know what you're talking about. And I just gave you my time because thinking that you did because you were so loud with your opinion, and you just confused me, and what you're saying is wrong. Like, it's not even the context and the timeline.
Sometimes it's just an honest mistake. I've done that before.
No, honest mistakes are different than when somebody goes out of the way to make a YouTube video to say, here's why such and such artist is a devil worshiper. They made this song, and when you play it backwards, it's like that. And it's like, they didn't even make that song. That's a remixed version of the song that they weren't even in the studio to make. A DJ remixed that. It just became popular. And that's the basis of your opinion and your argument that I'm ending up watching. Like, it sounds really stupid that I'm watching a video like that. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, for information purposes, because you know that's a hot topic, let's say.
Here, the sun turned around. Let's turn the seat around.
All right. How long have we been recording for?
1:24.
Should we wrap it up?
I don't care.
All right.
You have somewhere to be?
I have nowhere to be. I just don't know if any.
I like hearing conversation.
I know you do. And we'd hear it just the same, whether it's supposed to be recorded or not.
No, well, you're... Whatevs. You want to cut it? We can cut it.
Doesn't matter.
We can get something to eat. What time is it?
That is a good question.
That's when you know you're having a good day. When you don't know what time it is and you don't care. Is she taking a picture of their asses?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Yeah, they are.
Come on.
Does that surprise you?
No, it does surprise me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because especially with the Me Too movement, everyone wants to talk about how giving respect and I'm a woman and this and that, but then you degrade yourself.
Is it?
This is what you're going to do? Is you're going to put on social media?
Yeah. Well,
And then when people comment and say, ooh, nice ass or whatever, or like anything, or if they say the opposite, like, oh, pasty ass or flat ass or whatever they're going to say, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, don't put stuff out there that then you don't want people to have anything to say about it.
Right.
You're giving people a platform to talk about something that you don't want them to say. If they don't say the thing that you don't want to hear, it's bad. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. It's sexist. But you're putting it out there.
Right.
So, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This took a turn. We were having a good time.
I'm not going to weigh in on that because I may say something stupid. No,
but
true.
Like that's what bothers me. Well, you can't expect people to respect you if you can't respect yourself. And if you're going to do that, own it. Then let people say what they're going to say and let it be, is what I'm saying.
I think people just don't... I think when the most popular pages on Instagram... are the ones where girls are very comfortable with showing their booty. You know, and who's objectifying the woman? Or is it the guys who are liking it or the people that are liking it and loving the fact that you're showing your booty for the world? Or you? Who's the objectifier? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it just becomes one of those things where it's like, be careful, because when you don't hear the comment that you like, and then are you going to criticize people for that?
Yeah.
So, that is rough cuts.
What is the water looks nice today. Are you going to put in your toes?
No. That is such a funny sight right now. two people going into the water with very different bodies.
All right. They're going to say we're being.
No, it isn't so much. It isn't so much. It's just
a contrast.
The contrast.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I hear you.
It's like whenever you see like a really tall, slim guy and his buddy's kind of short and stout, and you automatically think of Timon and Pumbaa. Like, you can't help. It's just it lends itself to the humor. That's all. Yeah. Shall we wrap it up and get some food?
I think I have to pee too.
Oh, that's a great way.
Well. Like I said, this wasn't really intended to be a thing, but if you want to, you can. If not, it could just go in the archives, like our Batman Mask of the Phantasm episode.
That's right.
Right? And one of our civil rights episodes that's going to go into our archives. Because I think, well, we have enough of those.
Yeah, we have enough of those.
It's not like we need another one. Yeah. Well, we could, but we don't have to.
I like moments like this, though, because they're real.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah. And I've never been interviewed.
Really? No, I've interviewed you before.
You have. You've asked. But, like, this was more, like, deep dive.
This was way back in the day. It was a way back playback.
Imagine if I was an actual, like, creator or artist who had something legitimate to talk. I'd be, like, I'd give Sam Noir a run for his money.
This was fun. I liked it. But I do need to pee.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to shut it off.
Okay.
How do I shut it off? This one? Press it? Should I press it?